You've heard the work of renowned American composer Gwyneth Walker on Classical IPR many times, and she has a brand new work on Christmas Eve, premiering on Christmas Eve at the Emmanuel Episcopal Church in Petoskey with members of the Great Lakes Chamber Orchestra. She is the GLCO's composer in residence. I am so happy that Gwyneth Walker is here with us today, joining us via Zoom to talk about that work and share more of her music with us. Thank you for joining us, Gwyneth.
You're welcome, Kate. Hello.
Hello. This new work, which is an adaptation of three traditional carols, is quite hot off the presses. You just finished this. Can you tell us about this piece?
Sure. And yes, just finished. My engraver just finished the parts about a minute ago. So, and I just finished the score a few days ago. Well, Andre contacted me because for Christmas Eve this year, they have the instruments, the brass and the organ and percussion, but they don't have a choir. They're not allowed to have a choir in there because of the pandemic, but they have Judy Zorn as their soloist. However, there's not much repertoire for solo voice with the brass and the organ and percussion. You can imagine that the balance could be a mess. Also, people usually think of Christmas Eve when the brass starts playing that the whole choir starts singing or even the congregation. So since there wasn't any repertoire, and Andre was hoping I had some, I said, I really didn't. But then when I thought about it more, I realized that this could be something that would be appealing to people in general, you know, not just this year. And the reason, the difference between this approach and having a choir is that it's much more personal when you have just the one voice. So when she's singing about in the bleak midwinter, what can I give him? I would give my heart. That seems more personal as one person singing it than a choir. And other things, the Bring a Torch, Jeanette Isabella, which is a French carol, is quite almost humorous. You know, she's running in there with her torch and she's trying to get the shepherds to calm down. And there's just so much personality in that, which I felt could come out better with a solo voice. I take that as a fairly lively song. To my amazement, when I went online, I saw on YouTube a rendition with a large chorus slowly. I mean, it is a nice melody, but still she's supposed to be running with the torch, you know, to celebrate. So I checked with Andre and I said, do you think of this as a slow song? And he said, oh no, by no means. So I was reinforced in that approach.
You mentioned somewhere that the central message is the tenderness of the mother's love for her child. How did you apply that in the music?
Well, firstly, in choosing the carols, I wanted to have ones that were personal, and it's with a solo woman's voice singing. So I thought, you know, at Mary and the Child, rather than some of the wonderful Christmas music that we think of that's quite forceful and regal, you know, and the kings are coming and the organ is playing full volume and yay, you know, that's part of what Christmas Eve can be too. But for this, I wouldn't want Judy trying to shriek at the top of her voice in celebration. I thought more tenderness would be a better thing.
And I want to say I've noticed that we're listening to one of your vocal pieces, Thy Fingers Make Early Flowers. And this is sung by Michelle Arizaga with pianist Jamie Schopp. And what I noticed when I heard this piece, it really stood out to me that you are so kind to the voice of the soprano.
Well, you want the message to suit. When you're picking Thy Fingers Make Early Flowers, that's from a set, Though Love Be a Day, that dates back to 1977 or something like that. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
I still like the song, but it definitely was written a long time ago. Yes, over 40 years ago, 43 years ago.
Well, in my humble opinion, still fresh as a daisy. Let's listen to Thy Fingers Make Early Flowers. This is Michelle Arizaga with pianist Jamie Schock from the album The Sun Is Love.
Thy fingers make early flowers of all things. Thy hair mostly the hour's love, a smoothness which seems
Gwyneth, as we were setting up this interview, you mentioned that you like to compose in the morning. Why is morning your composing time?
I love the verb like. I have to compose in the morning. This is my job. I get up and do my job. Like many other composers, I have the most energy, the freshest in the morning, but I usually work from the time I get up until at least 2. And then I take a slight break and then I work in the evening again. So I'm going to be working this evening. So it's not like, it's that I must work and I do my best work in the morning. But then if you have the whole evening to do some proofreading, that is relaxing to think, oh, I'm not in a hurry. I'm just going to do this. But I usually work morning and night. And in the afternoon, I take off and play tennis or whatever I can do.
You now live, you split your time between Connecticut and Vermont. But for 30 years, you lived on a dairy farm. Did that environment affect your music?
Well, firstly, I miss it so much. And I wasn't a farmer. I was just living on the farm, writing music. And there was a lot of acreage all around me. So I liked that. And I know at some point you're going to play A Vision of Hills. Waking up on the farm in Vermont, a place I miss a lot, the mist would be rising over the cornfields. And as the mist would rise, I think of that Celtic song hymn, Be Thou My Vision. So it was my vision of waking up on the dairy farm and seeing the mist rise and the hills. You barely could see them at first because of the mist, and then they become clear. So the piece opens with a very high misty sounds in the piano to try to capture the feelings I had in the morning.
This is A Vision of Hills, performed by Musica Harmonia.
Thank you.
Been composing since you were 2 years old. Can you tell us about life as a two-year-old composer and then how it progressed from there?
Well, I'm the daughter of an inventor, actually many lines of inventors going way back. So I'm an inventive person. My mother happened to be quite musical, so I inherited from her a very good ear. When I was a tiny child, I heard my sister practicing the piano, and I was in my crib. And when I heard the piano the first time, I just leapt up in the air. Just the sound of music got to me. It thrilled me. So being the little inventor scientist that I am, of course, by the next day, I had crawled over to the piano and was emulating what I'd heard the night before, you know, playing the Fioralis in my own way that I had heard. And soon enough, I then started making up my own ideas, and I wrote them down. That was, I guess, the most inventive thing. There was a piece of paper there, music paper, and somebody showed me where middle C was on the piano and where it was on the paper. And that's all I needed. And of course, you know, when you're a child, you have all the time in the day. And I think my parents were thrilled that I would spend so much of it entertaining myself, but just making up some little note patterns and writing them down. And then by the time I was in first grade, I'd organize my friends into a little orchestra and I would write them a little piece. And mostly it was just interesting to me how the notes fit together on the page. It was more of a scientific thing. And my parents just stood back and said, "There she goes." You know, they didn't say, "Oh, our daughter's a genius, which must take her to the teacher," or something. They just thought, let her alone. And that was the best thing, because I still get up every morning and head right to the piano. Nobody managed to stop me to kill my love of music, which might have happened if someone had said, "Our daughter's a genius, we have to take her to the teacher." And then the teacher would be heavy-handed and then, you know, be a battle of wills. And it's better to just let the person alone, let them be.
Tell us about this piece, Semplice.
Semplice. I had studied with an Italian and in graduate school, Arnold Franchetti. And so at the time I wrote this, I think this is, again, another very early piece. I think this is from 1980-ish. I was still more influenced by, you know, having had all those years of study with him. So I thought, well, I'll just write a simple piano piece. But what happened was that as it was varied, as the theme was varied, it gets more and more like filigree. It's very delicate, very delicate. And I think there are lots of grace notes involved. And that was much more in his style, my teacher, Franchetti. He would write very delicate music. So it was somewhat thinking of him, but I believe that it's an absolutely simple melody in the key of C. ba 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 ba, 1 2 3 5 5, you know, something like that. But then filigree, little grace notes happen around it. It's sort of an homage to my teacher, I guess.
Here is Semplice, as performed by pianist Jamie Schock. Next, Gwyneth, if I may, I would love to play one of my personal favorite pieces of yours, if that is okay, based on the work of Robert Frost from About Leaves, Nothing Gold Can Stay. And can you tell us about this beautiful piece?
Yes, I don't have the program notes in front of me, so I'm just going to be more general. But I lived in Vermont and have lived there for a long time, and the Vermont Symphony Orchestra had this plan in the fall of incorporating a new work of a Vermont composer and playing it at different places around the state of Vermont. So it was for chamber orchestra, very small chamber orchestra. I thought that I would write something that was inspired by Robert Frost poetry. And if one wanted to read aloud the poems before each movement, they could. And I know there was an orchestra that in Michigan, I think, somewhere that just played this, and they loved having people read the poems. And so there was that poem that's more heartfelt about Nothing Gold Can Stay, where when we were living in Vermont, you know, the most beautiful colors came, but then of course they couldn't stay. So there's a sadness to that. So this whole piece called About Leaves that two of the earlier movements are livelier, one about the leaves blowing away and one about stomping on the leaves, you know, to keep them from blowing away. But then for the last one, I allowed myself to be more expressive about the sadness you feel when something so beautiful, whether it's leaves or just any really beautiful thing in your life, cannot stay.
Thank you.
We're going to listen to one more piece now. This is made of three movements, but we're going to hear all three movements from When the Spirit Sings.
There's a string trio who are sometimes based in Virginia and Harrisonburg. They play in the Bach Festival Orchestra in the summer. There's a big Bach Fest down there in Harrisonburg. So these wonderful players who don't necessarily all live in Harrisonburg, they just gather for the summer. And they also go down to Greensboro. You know, there's that Eastern Music Festival. It's a very prestigious thing. And so they had gotten together down there and also in the other place. And they were mostly playing older music, but then they got interested in adding some newer things. And I think they had one kind of extended spirituals arrangement, which was really very jazz oriented. And I thought it was very well done. And they got the idea that they would like to have more spirituals. And my style is not nearly as jazzy as theirs. In fact, there's not that much in this one. Some of the movements are quite not jazzy at all. But they wanted me to write something for them. So I did. And they're wonderful players. They are absolutely wonderful players. And we've all gotten to be good friends. And we've done other projects together. But I had never met them until I went down there to Harrisonburg just for the dress rehearsal and then the premiere. And they were so, so good. And we got along so well. So that was that. But let me see. Isn't My Lord What a Morning? That's the first one, mm-hmm. right? And then Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?
Yep.
And then This Train Is Bound for Glory. So those are the three, and they cover, well, I guess My Lord What a Morning is a bit soulful and then picks up. Were You There When They Crucified My Lord is slow and expressive. And then This Train Is Bound for Glory is rambunctious, I guess I'd put it that way. It worked out really well. I've never thought I would be writing for string trio. I don't play a string instrument. And you're kind of exposed when it's just a string trio. You know, if you don't write well for the cello, it's going to really show. But it worked out really well. So I'm pleased with that. Living here in Connecticut right now, of course, most string players are not able to play with their orchestras because of the pandemic. I have befriended some players who live in Stamford, Connecticut, and they play with the Norwalk Symphony, and they decide to have a concert in their garden, in their backyard at the end of the summer. And they played this, and they invited 15 of their neighbors. They had to keep the limit down and be sure every one of those people came with their chair, and just, they were just so thrilled to be able to be part of a concert. And that group played this piece very nicely too.
Wow.
So I just heard it. Yeah.
That's a pretty powerful backyard concert. That's neat. So let's hear it all. This is going to be performed by Musica Harmonia, and we will hear all three movements of When the Spirit Sings by Gwyneth Walker. Here it is. That was When the Spirit Sings, All Three Movements by Musica Harmonia, music by Gwyneth Walker. On Christmas Eve, by our new friend Gwyneth Walker, premieres this Christmas Eve at the Emmanuel Episcopal Church in Petoskey, featuring some of your friends and neighbors in the Great Lakes Chamber Orchestra. You'll see Andre Stratum, the chorus master, Ed Barr, the GLCO principal trombone, Pat Jarvie, the principal trumpet, Eric Shea, and of course, soprano Judy Zorn. And keep your ears open because you will be hearing lots of work by Gwyneth Walker on Classical IPR. Thank you so much for being here.
Goodbye to everybody in Petoskey. I hope I get to see you again sooner rather than later.